In the news, November 4th, 2005. This is Scott Verguin, news director at KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. The following stories are taken from thenewstandardnews.net, an excellent source for independent news coverage on the Internet. First story, written by Brendan Coyne, staff writer for The New Standard. Major news outlets neglect to name secret detention facilities. Under pressure from federal officials, major media outlets with access to the names of the locations of the web of secret U.S.-run detention facilities around the world decided to keep the information from the public. Wednesday, The Washington Post reported on the secret prisons, which are believed to be run by the Central Intelligence Agency and are known as, quote, black sites, end quote, provoking immediate reaction from human rights groups, many of which had previously revealed information about suspected sites. According to the Post, captives alleged by U.S. officials to be top al-Qaeda figures are being held and interrogated at a former Soviet Union prison camp compound in Eastern Europe, away from scrutiny by the public, government, and human rights groups. The prison is just one of many revealed by U.S. and foreign officials, including previously used sites in Afghanistan, Thailand, several Eastern European countries, and a recently shuttered Guantanamo Bay facility operated separately from the main camp, the paper said. The Post reported that, quote, senior U.S. officials, end quote, asked the paper not to report the names of countries where active secret prisons are located. The paper assented, reporting that the officials, quote, argued that the disclosure might disrupt counterterrorism efforts in those countries and elsewhere and could make them targets of possible terrorist retaliation, end quote. CNN also agreed to keep the country name secret at a request of people described only as, quote, government officials, end quote, the news channel reported Wednesday. In a report yesterday, the Baltimore Sun said it had confirmed the place names but would not report them. The Associated Press has not reported the specific locations either. The latest news of secret U.S.-run prison camps renewed calls for investigations from human rights groups. Earlier this year, Amnesty International and other organizations accused the U.S. of maintaining a secret network of prisons and called for their closure. In a statement yesterday, Amnesty International, which earlier this year documented the plight of two Yemenis held secretly by the U.S., called the prisons a, quote, natural extension of the Bush administration's bankrupt policies, end quote. William Schultz, executive director of the organization's U.S. wing, said, quote, Amnesty International, the Red Cross, and the Department of Defense have documented torture and other human rights violations in U.S.-run facilities. We can only imagine the abuses committed at so-called black sites, where there is no independent oversight. Holding people in prolonged solitary detention in secret facilities without charge, trial, or access to the outside world is a blatant violation of U.S. obligations under international law, end quote. Human Rights Watch spokesperson Tom Malinowski told CNN that keeping prisoners secretly inflicts, quote, enormous damage, end quote, on the nation's reputation. Previously, the group released extensive details, including country and city names, about detainees being held in and transferred between a number of secret detention camps. Yesterday, CNN reported that the International Committee of the Red Cross is seeking access to all prisoners held secretly by the U.S. The next story, also written by Brendan Coyne, staff writer for The New Standard. White House hardens stance against improved home heating help. Also dated November 4th. The Bush administration earlier this week denounced Senate Republicans' suggestions that oil companies donate money to a federal program aimed at helping low-income families afford home heating bills. The corporate charity idea came after last month's efforts to double federal funding for the program met defeat in the Senate. In comments to the U.S. Senate Finance Committee yesterday, Wednesday, Energy Department Secretary Sam Bodman said the administration opposed Senator Charles Grassley's, Republican of Iowa, November 1st suggestion that oil companies give a tiny portion of their recent record-breaking profits to the Low-Income Heating Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP. Reiterating his stance to reporters later, Bodman said of Grassley's proposal, quote, I wouldn't support it. It is similar to a tax, end quote. Grassley, who heads the Finance Committee and voted last Wednesday to increase federal funding for LIHEAP, sent letters Tuesday to the nation's leading oil and gas companies asking them to donate 10% of the last quarter's profits to assist people in paying home heating bills this winter, the senator's office said in a news release. He also requested that each company provide information on its charitable activities. In a letter to American Petroleum Institute CEO and President Red Kavanaugh, Grassley said, quote, As record third quarter profits are announced across the oil and gas industry, your members have an opportunity to demonstrate that they're good corporate citizens by giving a fraction of their profits to help the less fortunate, end quote. Home heating prices are expected to jump by as much as 30 to 70% this winter, depending on the region of the country, but the federal government has declined to make official efforts to increase help to the poor. In a late October vote, senators backing higher federal LIHEAP funding failed to push the measure through by 6 votes. And finally, also from the New Standard News and also written by Brendan Coyne, staff writer, groups charge Senate failed public on farm subsidies vote. In giving final approval to a budget package projected to cut federal spending by $36 billion, the U.S. Senate defeated an amendment that would have capped federal payouts to farmers and closed loopholes used by factory farms to take in millions or more in subsidies every year. By a 53-46 vote, the Senate opted not to include the proposal, which was expected to save more than $1 billion over 5 years. Lawmakers have been seeking significant budget cuts due to massive outlays for overseas wars and for disaster relief along the Gulf Coast. Last week, Senate and House committees approved cuts to the Department of Agriculture's budget, with the House approving a plan lowering food stamp funding and restricting access to the program. Offered by Senators Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, and Byron Dorgan, Democrat of North Dakota, the Farm Subsidies Amendment would have capped payouts at $250,000 per year, according to statements from Grassley's office. The effort was supported by Oxfam America, a branch of the International Relief Agency, and the Environmental Working Group, which found in a recent study that 72% of farm subsidies go to the richest 10% of recipients. In a statement yesterday, Oxfam America Legislative Director Charlie Moore said, quote, "The Senate missed an opportunity to get on the path to a more equitable and sustainable farm program," end quote. The organization believes mega farms unfairly game the current subsidy system, which allows payments up to $360,000 to collectively take in millions each year. Charlie Moore said, quote, "Congress should fund a sustainable farm program, not one that hurts family farms by encouraging consolidation and overproduction. Instead, today's move demonstrated the power that a small number of farming operations have in maintaining an antiquated farm program." This has been In the News for November 4th, 2005. I'm Scott Perguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. You can find these and other news stories at newstandardnews.net. That's newstandardnews.net.